You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We did have some problems in our first, just a few minutes ago, so we had to switch to a backup program. That was the Ebony and Ivy interview that we had a few months ago. It's because we had trouble getting hold of our guest. We now have him. It's Jim Drew. He is a reporter for the Dallas Morning News. We're talking about West, the Texas town that was rocked by an explosion after a fire ignited at a fertilizer plant located near the schools, near a neighborhood. Fortunately, the schools were empty at the time of that explosion, but at least 15 people died, were killed, and more than 160 were injured, and more than 150 buildings were damaged or destroyed in that explosion. What have we learned since the explosion of West? Was there a breakdown in regulations of that West fertilizer plant? Could have been avoided? And what's happening now across the state of Texas? Are there other similar situations across the state that with this needs to be addressed? And let's get Jim. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Jim, what have we learned? Have we had any new laws go into effect, state laws dealing with fertilizer plants since the explosion at West in April?
No, there have been no legislative changes since the West explosion. There's a committee of the legislature that is examining that issue, but it is not expected to take any action until late next year in preparation for the 2015 session.
Okay, so many people are familiar that there was an explosion at West, but what exploded? What caused that explosion?
Well, ammonium nitrate exploded at West, and the cause for the fire that led to that explosion, that has not been determined what the cause of that was. And so that still remains an open question.
Correct. So, but we do know that there was a storage of ammonium nitrate fertilizer, which is made from natural gas, and we know it's explosive because there have been some dramatic and historic explosions in the past using this fertilizer product. But it was so why was there allowed to have all the storage of this explosive material right in this neighborhood, right near these schools, in what would be considered a blast zone?
Yeah, what we have been examining, our newspaper has been examining since the explosion in April, is what some refer to as the regulatory gaps. And so there have been, you know, several state and federal agencies that had a piece of the oversight of fertilizer facilities that handle ammonium nitrate. But there is not one agency that does all of the regulation.
So we have a state chemist, an office of a state chemist?
Correct. Yes. I mean, the reason, the story that we published last Sunday was based on a look at the Office of the Texas State Chemist, and it is the state agency that regulates, has been assigned to regulate ammonium nitrate security in Texas. And that started in 2007 when the legislature passed a law primarily designed to keep ammonium nitrate away from would-be terrorists. And the task of enforcing that law was assigned to the Office of the Texas State Chemist, which is an agency that most Texans have never heard of. It's primarily in charge of regulating the feed and fertilizer industries in Texas.
Our phone number
And what the law says is that ammonium nitrate storage facility must be, quote, fenced or otherwise enclosed and locked when unattended. And so the state chemist, when they do their inspections, they say a facility fails if it lacks both secure fencing and locked storage areas. What we did was we built a database by analyzing the inspection records that the Office of the Texas State Chemist posted on its website, and we found that more than half of all facilities licensed last year to carry ammonium nitrate lacked either secure fencing or locked storage areas.
Okay, our phone number is 614-8980. We do have a caller who wants to join the conversation, John. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm an environmental engineer. I deal with the international standardization 14,000 and 9,000. And just one point I want to bring up is that you don't hear about many of these things out on the East Coast or even in Europe because the urban areas predate the Industrial Revolution. And then they were able to, you know, design or designate areas for this to happen. Whereas in Texas, a lot of these places came along way before the urban areas did, where even 5 years ago it might have been in the middle of nowhere and things have grown up around it, or maybe a school district consolidated and was looking for a geographically central location. And the issue with that is when they went in all those years ago, there weren't zoning boards. The county was probably the highest level of authority over that unincorporated area. And that's why it lands in this kind of obscure office at the state level that is probably doing the best it can. But to attempt to coordinate this patchwork and then go out and do all the inspections over the entire state is just a Herculean task that, you know, in 1 year, it doesn't surprise me that there isn't a lot of progress. And what I believe is the best solution is to educate that county level, whether it's sheriffs or the county engineer, about what these regulations are and how they can make them into the foot soldiers that are going out and doing the inspections and helping to regulate for the Office of the State Chemist in the areas that they just can't feasibly get out to all the time.
Okay, John, those are some good observations. Thank you for that. So Jim Drew, reporter for the Dallas Morning News, we know that the West Fertilizer Company was built in 1962, I think, and the town pretty much grew around it, right?
Correct. That's correct. Yes, it was in a rural area, and so those structures were built over the years, you know, so there was not the kind of the plant is in an unincorporated area of McLennan County, and so many of those structures that were destroyed were actually within the city limits. There, you know, a number of issues are involved here. One is zoning and buffer areas. Another is that Texas does not have a statewide fire code, and so the state fire marshal's office in an unincorporated area would not have jurisdiction.
It's land use laws, things that we're very we are not crazy about in Texas, where we feel like you should be able to do whatever you want with your land, even if it's to build it next to something that could explode very badly.
Right. I mean, that's you know, a policy issue that will be at least debated. The question is whether the legislature would take any action on something like that. I think it more likely scenario would be that state law would be changed to make it easier for counties to have at least the option to adopt a fire code.
But what about informing people and school districts and entities about where they're putting their structures? If you don't have a registry, then how do people know?
Well, it's good. It's an important debate that's part of this. In the article that we published on Sunday, the inspection reports for the fertilizer facilities that handle ammonium nitrate, the Office of the Texas State Chemist went to the Attorney General's office and said, you know, should we disclose records that identify the names and locations of these facilities? And the Attorney General's office cited a law which said if any material can be used to create a weapon, it is exempt from the public records law. Now, we quoted an expert who said, kind of a safety expert, that people have the right to know where these facilities are located. And they can make decisions then on their own as to what level of risk that they want to live with. I think the sense of the Office of the Texas State Chemist is that people in small towns know where these facilities are located. They can go in. The law requires facility owners to display their registration within.
Well, we've heard that the people of West did not know, that the volunteer fire department did not know, and that they had not trained for this type of incident, and that there are other towns, like you cover Athens, where we have a very similar circumstance.
Sure. Yeah. And I went to a fertilizer facility in Williamson County in Taylor. And after doing that interview, I walked into the neighborhood and spoke to a woman who actually lives right on the edge of the fertilizer facility. And she said that she had been born and raised in the town and never knew that ammonium nitrate was being stored there. They're no longer selling it. They stopped selling it in July because of concerns about security. So,
right, and you can listen to the recordings of the people in West when the explosion happened. People weren't saying, "Oh, that must have been the fertilizer plant." They're saying, "Oh my God, did a plane crash into the ground? What happened here?" They did not know.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then the question for the legislature would be. Should that information be public record? Should people have the right to know where these facilities are located and what's inside them?
And
much of that information already is public through the Tier 2 system, which is a US EPA requirement.
Okay, but there's more coming. I mean, the investigation is still underway. There's a whole lot of stuff we don't know about what happened on West that day. And hopefully we'll get some better answers and figure out how we can avoid another West in the future. Jim Drew, reporter for the Dallas Morning News. You guys are at the tip of the spear in figuring out what happened at West. We appreciate that. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
And thanks for having us.
This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.